Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
His name was Jeremy. He was on WordPress with a passion for youth sports and some free time on his hands. That SB Nation, they came a-calling. Despite trying to perfect his art, he knew something wasn't right. Then Chris came writing on and started poking fun. They decided to start a podcast, and who could ask for more at the Mountain? Mountain West Connection. Just be sure you don't ever skip this section here at the Mountain. Mountain West Connection. Recaps and previews, such stats, and just random at the Mountain.
Welcome back to today's Mountain West Connection show. Jeremy here. Check us out at MWCConnection.com, MWC Connection on Twitter, Mountain West Connection on Facebook. We're everywhere, taking over the world. Tonight, however, no Chris, and that is show number two of our theme song, but Chris is heading to Las Vegas and being the holiday week. Taking care of the show myself, so hopefully another one-man show is not terribly excruciating, and maybe people enjoy just one person bantering about all the games. And there are a lot of games this week, and well, seven games. I'm in a hurry, so let's get hustling and get through this. We start on Black Friday, ton of football, but San Jose State host number 16 Fresno State, who, as me and Chris went over quite a bit before, are behind Northern Illinois in the BCS standings. And I'm going to safe to say that Northern Illinois will beat Western Michigan, who they play Tuesday night. This show may or may not be up at the time, but let's just safe to say they're going to win. Fresno may, should win, but and that gap will be much closer. But we will worry about that later with Northern Illinois computers. But this game, a couple things on the line. Fresno already has, actually Fresno, well, no, let me back up and start with Fresno State one more time again. I'm not going to edit this because I just keep going. Fresno State has a lot to play on the line. They've already clinched the Mountain West title, bowl game, blah, blah, blah. Probably Vegas Bowl bid, unless they somehow lose the Mountain West title game. But they need to win big, and try to increase the gap in the coaches' poll. They already have a 7-spot gap over Northern Illinois. And I think the Harris poll, about the same, a sizable gap. They need to blow out San Jose State and do it in good fashion, which they have a good chance to because San Jose State defense is questionable. But Spartans, they have a lot to play for themselves. Not that they blew a chance last week, but David Fell's one interception and his excellent performance against Navy cost them six wins. So they're sitting at 5-6. If they win, obviously six wins, a bowl game. But you got to beat Fresno State to do so. And like I said, that's not likely. And Fresno's probably playing their best football of the year. Blowouts, New Mexico, Wyoming. They've been on a pretty good streak the past couple weeks. They snuck by San Diego State, who's vastly improving as well. I don't know. I know Fresno's pass defense is just hit and miss. They've been good at times with Ron Smith, and other times not as good, but they've been better than not, I would say, after kind of diving into their stats overall. But David Fells, he can throw against anybody, and that's, I think, if San Jose State's going to get this win, they're going to have David Fells light up scoreboard passing the ball, which I could still see him getting for 3 to 350. But you got to look at that running situation for San Jose State, and that has been where, safe to say, they struggled a bit. They kind of rotated around. They're going with the freshman. I always forget the names here. There's so many teams we talk about and everything, but they, it's Lawson, I believe. Yeah, Jared Lawson. I was correct. If I said it the first time, I had it right. Jared Lawson playing pretty well. They need him to have a good game, because I think if San Jose State's going to be one-dimensional, I can say it's about any team, but man, one-dimensional, even with David Fells, I don't think he's going to get the job done, because I think Fresno has just enough of a good defense to stop them. And last week versus Navy, he had 98 yards. He's had a couple over. He had some good games, 187, 127 versus Wyoming on the ground. He does get involved in the receiving game, which could spice things up a little bit, but that's kind of what on San Jose State offense they're going to need to do, get the running back involved, get Jared Lawson there. But we all know it's going to come down to that defense. And it'll be fun to see Ben Aben Wickery. Yes, I said that correct without having to stumble over it five times. However, he cannot guard Devontae Davis, Josh Harper, or Isaiah Burse. He's probably going to be on Devontae Adams, which will be an amazing matchup to kind of see how that goes, because Adams is probably – he should have gotten a Blitnikoff finalist, but he got snubbed over Sammy Watkins, who had, I think, 9 less touchdowns, 20 less receptions approximately, and 1 less game. Way to go, voters. But there are a ton of wide receivers in the all of college football, so that, hey, that happens. That's gonna happen. But I just think it's going to come down to Fresno doing what they do, throw the ball to anybody. And then the running game, which gets overlooked with Fresno, but Josh Quezada has actually been playing a little bit better running the ball. And they have the, well, I always forget the other guy's name, and everybody's probably yelling, it's the same guy you miss every week, Martez Waller. They've guys to do combined for 1,200 yards, 12 touchdowns, averaging over 5 a carry. That's what they need to do. And looking at the odds, I know I wrote the post, and I think it's a 7-point odd favorite towards Fresno State here. And this is at San Jose State, by the way, so it's even, not there's a home field advantage, really. It's actually, it opened at 10, it dropped down to 7-8 in some places. Some people are kind of going with San Jose State to at least keep it close, which I wouldn't be surprised if they do, but we've kind of seen what San Jose State has done this year. If they're rushing deep, they've had red zone issues, which they've taken care of a little bit, but their rushing attack on rushing defense has just been awful. And while Fresno doesn't have the best of the two, or the best of the bunch, they should get enough, and I think Fresno's going to be motivated, just want to try to smoke them. I'm obviously going Fresno win, as everybody should. I think it could be like maybe a 21-point victory for Fresno State. They're going to continue their third straight blowout because they beat up on Nevada easily, has a good offense. Wyoming has a good offense to beat up, and New Mexico has nothing, and they just crushed them. I just think they're going to win, and they're going to try to win big on that Friday afternoon, 3:30 Eastern on CBS Sports. Moving quickly here, because, like I said, I got a time crunch here to get this done. Next game, like we always do, go in chronological order. It is not another non-conference game. There are two non-conference games this week, but this one is BYU traveling to Nevada. I know how much Chris and everybody loves their former Mountain West folks from BYU. This BYU 7-4, Nevada's 4-7. Game CBS Sports Network as well, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific here in Reno. And I want to say, I think BYU is going to win. They're the better team, we all know. But we've seen kind of what Nevada can do with Cody Fajardo. Because right now, I think this is too big of a line. 14-point dog Nevada is to BYU. We all know Nevada, what they can do with Cody Fajardo. But they don't have a consistent running game. Don Jackson and anybody else they've been tossing back there just hasn't been able to do more. There's been no consistency at the running back game. They've had some guys here and there. Kendall Brock has been okay running the ball. But that's in Cody Fajardo, obviously. But the running, I say obviously too much, folks. I know I say it. I'm trying to cut back. But interesting, in the pistol offense, they need a running back who's consistent. Yeah, they have two or three guys, which they've done in the past. But none of them are stepping up each game. It's this guy for two games, this guy for one game, this guy for a half. If they can find somebody consistently early on who they know they're going to do well, stick with them, then they'll have a better chance to win. Yet, BYU has, their defense is only ranked 50 in the nation, but their front seven is very good. They got Kyle Van Noy, Spencer Hadley, Ethan Manimalo on the front line. We've talked about BYU a lot. They've played multiple Mountain West teams. They played Utah State and BYU, or Boise State. So we know what they're about. I think another key matchup is Brendan Wimberly versus any of the BYU secondary. Their secondary is kind of beat up. Last week, they had Mike Haig, who was, when they played Notre Dame, was kind of sick. He's doing fine this week from reports and everything I've looked up on. I just think Nevada's inconsistency and them not playing for bowl game, losing, what, 5 of their last 6 here. They're going to want to, not say they've given up, but I don't think they'll be get it done. Plus, Kyle Van Noy's from Reno. Well, he said it when I was at practice the other day down there at BYU. You had about 400 tickets or friends who were coming to the game. And also, somebody asked, so why not Nevada? I don't think this was a rude he's saying about the school. I think he just said, I didn't like it there. I just want to get out of town. It made it seem like, yeah, I'm a college kid. I don't want to stay in town. I want to go explore somewhere else and be at a different location. And he got his life together after that DUI where he had to sit out a first year. But he could have a big game. The last game he played there was in high school state championship game. His team won. But he's just not the only player in the BYU's defense. And it's just going to come down, like I said, it comes down to if Nevada can get some turnovers, stop Taysom Hill running the ball. But I think he could have almost a game where he has 100 yards because on the ground and 200 in the air. It's just, Nevada's defense is awful. I'm sorry, guys, but you're at the bottom of the Mountain West in passing and rushing. You don't do anything better than the other. I don't think they're going to win. I think they probably keep it close for a half, and then it's kind of be able to kind of chip away and win by 10 to 17 points. I think the only way Nevada's going to win is if Fajardo lights it up early to Wimberley because that's an advantage Nevada has. He's got to have that offensive line give him some time to protect against that front seven and also the batted down passes BYU seems to do on every other play. They might have a chance that's the case. In defense, just can't give a big place to Taysom Hill on the ground or even Jamal Williams. They're very good running back. But I still think Nevada's going to season 4-8 and see you next year. Wolfpack not going to bowl game for the first time, I think, since 2004, I believe. Yeah, 2004 is last time. And they'll, yeah, work on next year. They bring all the players back in. We'll just go from there. Next game, like I said, rapid fire. Quick analysis. Getting our parking ticket guy, Tim Dance on Twitter, I want to say. Getting these help. Hopefully, this is getting through your shift if you work in this Thanksgiving week. Next game, Air Force at Colorado State. ESPN 3, 2 Eastern. Rams on a bowl game. Air Force, I think watching that Nevada UNLV game last week, they've kind of given up a little bit. I see Nate Romine doing okay. Anthony Lacoste had a decent game versus Nevada. Not Nevada, excuse me. I know people are like, Nevada, I just talked about Nevada. UNLV, Las Vegas, the Rebels. I just think Colorado State's defense is it's better than UNLV. Corey James, Shaq Barrett will stop him. And Capri Bibbs will want to get back on track after getting absolutely crushed. He did have that toe injury versus Utah State. There was a ton of wind, which you'd think would have favored Colorado State with Capri Bibbs running the ball and Garrett Grayson struggling. But this is just going to be one of those games. I think it's going to be a lot of yards on the ground. Rams haven't gone to the bowl game in a very long time. Well, not very long, but a couple years with Steve Fairchild there. But they're 6-6. They got to get to 7 since they played at Hawaii. And I don't see why they shouldn't lose. They have the better team. They have a good defense. And Air Force proved, look at Tim Cornette, 220 yards last week. Air Force, besides Alex Means, they don't really have a good player on the ground who can stop the ground game, I should say. And unless Lacoste does what he does against Navy and goes for 180, 200-plus yards, this is going to be, it should be, not going to say guaranteed, because Colorado State's not at the point where they're guaranteed anything, because they are like just 6-6. And in this game, they are, well, the odds makers feel so they're anywhere between a 14- and 16-point favorite against rival, I guess, Colorado State. But I think they're just going to take care of business, run the ball to Capri Bibbs, and do their thing, and maybe get Joe Hansley involved a little bit here and there in the receiving game. But CSU is going to win. Probably not a blow-up. I think it'll be about 10 points or so. But they'll go bowl, and they'll probably go to, I think I've seen places, they might be in the New Mexico Bowl. I don't think they really care where they're going, but I kind of think that's where the season will end up for them. Next game, stellar analysis, I know. Moving on, Wyoming at Utah State. And this is the, I'm going to go ahead and say the second most important game of the weekend. Fresno State, San Jose State's most important because still BCS implications on the line. But Wyoming, Utah State, Bridger's Battle, the newly named after Jim Bridger, 19th-century Western Explorer. I've actually been to Fort Bridger for some mountain man rendezvous they've done, kind of hanging out there because it's 2 hours from my house. I've done that once or twice over Labor Day. But named after Bridger, Explorer guy, as I mentioned, these two, these guys are land-grant institutions. They've actually played 61 times, but they haven't been in this as back before the WAC was formed or when Wyoming went to the WAC, and Utah State was still kind of climbing the ranks slower than Wyoming. But the big thing is they play for a rifle. That's almost as cool as the Fremont Cannon for Nevada UNLV. Pretty close. The winner, I guess they have to score in the, I'm not a gun guy, but the handle, I'm assuming, the wooden handle part. Assuming that's just handle, simple enough. Notch to score on there. Winner gets to keep it. And I don't see why Utah State doesn't take care of business because Wyoming, well, they did score 59 points last week. This is the best defense they've played in a very long time. And Utah State shut down anything CSU did last week. Yes, there is wind. Forced a lot of bad passes by both sides. But it's at Utah State. It's a mid-afternoon game. It's on Root Sports, for those who are wondering. And Mountain West Network outside of the Rocky Mountain region. Darryl Garrettson's been a perfectly capable backup and is the future of Utah State under the quarterback once Chucky Keaton has exhausted his eligibility from returning from his ACL. But Wyoming, here's the thing. I was the biggest Wyoming guy early on. They started losing to Nebraska, played well, blowing teams out. Then we all know from there they've lost some games. They beat Hawaii, which remarkably so, they're still one win away if they upset Utah State going to a bowl game, which is kind of shocking for how they stumbled down the stretch. And Brett Smith to Robert Heron is a lethal combination. I just don't know they just haven't. It's like anything, consistency is the key. They haven't been consistent. And I think with the Vigil brothers, Kyle Frackle back there for Utah State linebacker, they'll be able to get to Brett Smith, even though he does have this running escapability. I just see what I mean. Regression. They give, I mean, 56 points to Hawaii. That's all I'm going to say. They give up so many points to Hawaii that's like, I know Hawaii's been a bit better with some guys being healthy, but this, Utah State has, they're 21-point favorites. They have so much on the line. They're going for their first year in the Mountain West, trying to win the Mountain West Conference for the first time ever in the title game against Fresno, who they have not played. They have a lot on the line, and they're going to want to win, and they're going to win just because they're the better team. Their defense will slow down Wyoming just enough. I think Wyoming could put up maybe 20, maybe 21, but I think this will be like a 35-21 game. I think 21 points is a bit too much for Utah State. Probably be 14-17 point game for the Aggies to advance to the Mountain West title game at Fresno State a week from Saturday. Just crazy that the title game's coming up. See, this is also, I didn't mention, the last regular season week of college football. Yeah, sad face, I know. Everybody's upset about that. Next game, New Mexico, Boise State. Oh, jeez. Joe Southwick is likely going to start versus New Mexico for the Broncos under center. Chris Peterson's all but said so. He's going to play somewhat. Senior day, get him in there. It's been 6 weeks since he broke his ankle, and I'm pretty shocked he's able to come back and going to start. Grant Hendrick did okay. I know people say, you don't watch the game close enough. Well, I watch a lot of games, and I don't know every single detail of every game. But it looks like from people are telling me who were falling a bit closer, receivers weren't getting open for Grant Hendrick, and he did have a good second half, but first half just wasn't great. They had no offensive points versus San Diego last week. And the remedy for that is, let's play New Mexico, who has reverted to almost Mike Locksley-type team, where they've got thrashed last week by Fresno State. And this week they are a massive 36-point underdog to Boise State. And also, Broncos, they'll know. Here's the thing, what this game could turn, because Utah State plays at 2 Eastern. This game's at 10-15 Eastern on ESPN2. If Utah State wins, they're in the title game. So Boise will know hours before this game if they have really anything to play for besides bowl positioning and, hey, you want to win, you don't want to play to lose. You don't play to lose. But if Utah State loses, Boise State will come out and just rocking and rolling and want to take care of business. But if Utah State loses, I don't think New Mexico is going to upset them, but this could be closer than people would really think just because there's not a ton to play for Boise State if they're not going to the title game. The 4 losses is the first time in a long time they've had that many. Maybe I'll look it up really quick and see as I'm talking to everybody. But one thing about the game last week was that this was the last time. I misspoke. I thought the last time they lost to the same opponent year over year was Utah State. It's actually North Texas. 98 and 99, Boise State lost to North Texas each year, which is, I think that was when North Texas was a pretty good team, put up a lot of points, but still, it's North Texas. But let me see the last time Boise State's had this bad of year, as I'm close to pulling that up here. Because we're all always used to seeing them, 10 wins, 9 wins, is like, oh, 9 wins, that's it. They haven't had 4 losses since, wow, they've, since 2005 in the WAC. I even think then that was Dan Hawkins last year before he took off. And the next year, undefeated, that's what people, oh, I think of 9-4, it'll be like, then we'll go to the BCS or next year in Access Bowl. But it's been 2005, and then before that it was 2001. So since 2001, they've only, this is just their third, fourth loss season since 2001. Pretty remarkable. And even if Utah State wins and they know they're not playing for anything, they'll come out and good. I just come out and play well. I just think with Joe Southwick likely starting, if they'll want to play well for him, I don't think they'll cover if Utah State wins, but they'll win easily going away, and that's all what really matters. And New Mexico, like I said, or I haven't said, like I said on prior shows, no Cole Gauchy. Clayton Mitchum did okay at quarterback throwing the ball last week. No Casey Carrier, who's one of the, I think our curse is live, all these top 50 players have gone injured this whole season, but he's out. And Carlson Gongbe, I believe I can say that, if that is correct. Mr. Gongbe, is that what I'm saying? I know that's Chris's favorite name for a running back. Let's take a look and see really quick as I am slowly looking everything up and wasting everybody's valuable time, because I am flying through this at 18 minutes and gone through 5 games. Me and Chris, he'd be like, ah, oh, we're good. We got 40 minutes. We've got 20 more minutes to go. But I'm Except blasting through these. It's last week of the season. Some games count, some don't as much as others. And that name is Caruso Gongba. I was close. Carlson, Caruso. Close enough. He's leading the way, running the ball. Maybe not leading the way, but he's doing well enough and being their guy to start the game under center. That's not right. That would be Clayton Mitchum. Excuse me for me screwing up again, because that's what I do. Like I said, I mess up a lot, I think. Not really, but let's move on to that and not dwell on that. This game, Boise's going to win. They're asked for a bowl game for them. They could go, I don't know. We'll talk about bowl games at the very end. Let me get through his last two games. San Diego State plays UNLV. Both teams are bowl eligible. UNLV for the first time in a long time. San Jose State wants to finish strong and go 8-4, which would be a remarkable turnaround after losing those first three games badly. And UNLV, I don't know, this is on ESPNU at 10:30 Eastern. This is something where I could see a lot of, I think Adam Williams is going to have a big game. Tim Cornette, it's at UNLV. And I think UNLV could pull the upset. They are under home dogs 3.5 towards giving 3.5 to San Diego State, but this is a game I think people should see because San Diego State's been playing so well. And yeah, I think still people are like, oh, it's just UNLV, it's just them. But if you look at Devontae Davis, Caleb Herring, Tim Cornette, their defense has played, look what they did against, I think even against Air Force's running the ball, they did fairly well. I think they held, if I'm correct, I'm going to pull it up now, but Anthony Lacoste to 70-something point yards. They're up 20-0, 27-0 against Air Force. Yeah, they only gave up 228 to Air Force and nothing, only 4 yard per carry average, which is, if you can do that against an Air Force team or any triple option team like Navy, Army, even the Pistol, Nevada, or New Mexico, hold them under 5, no big runs, they're going to do fine. I think Adam Wema, like I said, will get some yards against this team because it's not like Air Force where they know it's run, run, run. It's coming after them. This, San Diego State will mix it up. They'll get Colin Lockin involved, a lot of different receivers involved in this game. And this could be one of those late-night games where it's, hey, turn it on, see what's going on, and it could end up being a close game there. And also, excuse me, there is Colin Lockin, but also I probably should mention Zeal Ruffin, who has 1,000 yards already in the year. So this one, I don't know who to call a winner. I want it, my gut, logically think you say, oh, San Diego State. But UNLV hasn't played all that bad, and they got some talent. I just think, I am going to go with San Diego State to take this game, but it's not going to surprise me if UNLV wins. I think because San Diego State has been playing better down the stretch. Yeah, coming off a big win, 2 overtime wins in a row, actually fourth overtime game of the year, 3rd win. Yeah, I'll go San Diego State to cover and win. Probably still be within 1-score touchdown game, but just because I'll go with history, and history sided with UNLV not winning football games. Sorry, Rebels, but I still think you're pretty good this year, but not going to beat the Aztecs at home. Final game, non-conference game, Hawaii, 0-11 Hawaii. Yes, that's right, 0-11 Hawaii. Playing Army, who's not much better. Army is, I believe, 4-6. As I click on the MAC schedule instead of Mountain West. That's right, Army is 3-7, excuse me. It's 11 Eastern, it's on the Mountain West Network, or if you're lucky enough, you could pay pay-per-view in Time Warner Oceanic in Hawaii, but yeah, sorry about that. Here's the thing. I was reading Bill Connolly's numerical this weekend. I didn't realize this. I probably should have. But Hawaii, yes, they're 0-11. They're not playing well. They've been competitive the past couple weeks. Really, the last 3 weeks, kind of, versus Navy. They've had 5 games with 1 possession. They've lost 2 overtime games, back-to-back overtime games. They lost 7 to Colorado State, 2 to UNLV, and 5 to Fresno State. 5 games. This, if you think about it, if some stuff bounced right away, they could be sitting here at 5-6 with bowl eligibility on the line. Now, that's kind of extreme because they played Fresno, and I don't think they had a major comeback to even make it that close with some assistance from the Stripes on the sideline. And this is the best chance. And the reason, like I've mentioned it with Chris past couple shows, Hawaii's been better because Joey Aisafa doesn't have a fractured foot, has had over 100 yards of total offense each of the past 3 games he's in. Over 100 rushing, but then if you include his passing game, he has over 100 because last week he went 91 and 53 rushing to passing. They're going with Sean Schroeder, not going with the quadrant quarterback system with Taylor Graham, Iosoka, I can't think of his name, Willie Iosoka, I believe it's his name there, but whoever they've been throwing out there under center has not been working, especially with the combination of different players. Stick with one guy, stick with Joy Iosafa. But here's the thing. This is the first time Hawaii has been favored all year. This game opened up at 4.5, and it's now at 7 toward Hawaii. So a lot of people thinking Hawaii can get the win. And heck, it's the last game of the year. I think Hawaii's going to do it. They will finish 1-11, which is pretty crappy. Norm Chow's won, if he does so, will win 4 games in his 2 years ever as head coach. I still wonder if he's going to... I think if they lose, he's going to step down gracefully. If they win, I think he'll hang around. Just because if you kind of look what they have going forward, let me make sure I'm looking at these players correct for their eligibility. So you got Joy Iosafa. Taylor Graham, from transfer from Ohio State, has not panned out at all. Because Iosafa is a junior, and then so he'll be back. They do lose Sean Schroeder, but they'll have Taylor Graham. Maybe this year, if him actually playing college football, since he redshirted at Ohio State, sat out at Hawaii, he'll actually be better next year with that experience playing, getting another spring under his belt. Maybe Norm Chow will find an offensive coordinator. There's a lot of turmoil at the beginning of the year. But I'm going to go out and say Hawaii's going to get the win just because Army's driving, flying East Coast all the way to Hawaii. And it's a 6-hour game. It's 5 p.m. local time in Hawaii, 11 Eastern, where the Army's at. I just think Army could keep it close just because they will keep it close. This will not be a blowout by any means. But Army runs a triple option. They'll run the ball a lot, and Hawaii is susceptible to give up running yards. And that's kind of how they will keep it close. But Hawaii's going to win, and bam. Okay, quality-wise, we'll have to wait and see and get your feedback. But we're at 25 and a half minutes right now. And, wow, this is a fast show. Thanksgiving weekend. So if you get bored with your in-laws, slip into your bud on Thursday evening, Thursday afternoon, or even Friday morning. If you have a drive back, this is only a half hour. But, hey, you do what you got to do. And let me know how I did going solo. As for the bowl stuff here, I got an interesting email saying, could Fresno play Navy in the Armed Forces Bowl? And first blush, I'm like, that's not going to happen. But here's how I think there's a 50-50 chance it could happen if the only way it happens, I think, is if they lose the Mountain West title game to Utah State. Because if Fresno and Northern Illinois stand defeated and NIU gets a BCS bid, Fresno is going to Vegas. But if somehow Utah State upsets Fresno State, Utah State's going to Vegas. San Diego at the Poinsettia Bowl probably want to keep San Diego State, but they may want a Fresno team who could be ranked 20 or so if that does happen, right on the 20 range. So it could be San Diego State in the Poinsettia Bowl or Fresno State, or that's how I could see Fresno State heading to Fort Worth, Dallas area in Armed Forces Bowl to play Navy, which would be a very contrasting styles as we saw when they played San Jose State a few weeks back. But as for those BCS numbers, I don't know. I'm waiting to see. I'm assuming Northern Illinois is going to win tonight versus Western Michigan. I'm going to do some number crunching. I wish I had time to do it Tuesday night. I might, because the game doesn't start for a couple hours here for me in the Northern Illinois-Western Michigan game. But they're ranked like in the 120s in most of the computers, lower than New Mexico. And Fresno State's opponents, San Jose State and Utah State likely, or even Boise State, are much higher. And even whether it's Utah State or Boise State in the Mountain West title game, that's still higher than Bowling Green or Buffalo, who Northern Illinois will play as the winner. But that's all we got for tonight. And hey, check out the show and check out MWCConnection.com. And everybody have a great Thanksgiving weekend.